Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And as you see, we're on the back porch again. It is an absolutely beautiful day. You get just a little bit of taste of fall that is to come, certainly a welcome relief from the heat of the summer. And it's just an absolutely beautiful day. And I'm so thankful to have this time together with you as we meet with our Lord. I hope that your day is going well, both in terms of the weather, whenever it is that you're watching this, even more importantly, in your circumstances, whatever it is that you're facing in your life, and even beyond that, your walk and your relationship with the Lord, that you're close to Him, that you're experiencing Him, that you're growing in Him, that you are in fact able just to experience His nearness and His love and His comfort. I hope that you're just having an absolutely wonderful day in every way. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make this time possible. But obviously, more than anyone, we thank our Lord, our Creator, our Redeemer, the one who invites us to seek Him, the one who's brought us into a relationship with Himself, the one who's given us His Word and has preserved it, and by His Spirit interprets it. So more than anyone, we want to thank our Lord and turn our minds and our hearts toward Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. Father, for Your eternal love for us. Father, for Your salvation that You have made possible. Oh Lord God, the grace that You have shown in making that salvation possible, the grace You have shown us individually. Father, for we who know You, for bringing us to that salvation. Father, for giving us the faith, the ability to believe. Father, for the new birth, the new life that we have in You. Father, thank You. Thank You that You want us to know You. Lord, You've given us Your Word. You've given us times like this, O Lord, to come to meet with You, to hear from You. And Father, I just pray, O God, that You open our minds and our hearts, enable us to hear what You have to tell us. Lord, help us to see Your wonderful truths. Help us to know You, O God. Bless this time, we pray, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, again, I do hope that you're having a great day. Hope that you're going through a wonderful season in your life. But also realize that maybe you're not going through a wonderful season. Maybe you're not having a good day. Maybe you're, in fact, going through a very difficult time, a time of adversity or difficulty. As we open God's Word to Psalm 4, we certainly see that David was going through a difficult time in his life. You think about what he read in verses 1 through 3. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for Himself. The Lord is near when I call to Him. Obviously, we have a mixture there of both the problem, but also how we're going to look at dealing with that problem. But it's obvious, even from just reading those verses, that David is going through a very difficult time in his life, as he so often was, and thankfully the Spirit inspired him to write about it. But you know, as we look at this fourth psalm, we not only, you know, get an idea that David is going through a very difficult, hard period of time, but we also see some very key truths that David remembered in those times. You know, he went on to say in verse 4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate upon your heart upon your bed and be still. In other words, think, ponder, remember. And as we look at this psalm, we see some key things that we need to remember when we're facing adversity and difficulty and hardship, things like you may be going through now. Now, we certainly won't be able to see all of them that are in this psalm. There's so much here. I know we've looked at this psalm as we have all of them once before in more of an in-depth way. But right now, I want us to look at this psalm and see some key truths that we need to remember in a time of adversity, key truths that we need to remember when we're going through a time of difficulty. First thing we need to remember, it might seem to be very simple, but it's very important. Number one, the first thing we need to remember is God wants us. Think again, verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him. You think about that. The Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. God wants that godly man. God wants us. You think about that incredible truth, that of all that God has made, which is everything that exists, it's because he made it. Of all that God has authority and control over, which is everything because he's king of all, what he wants is, in fact, us. In fact, as you think about it, what is salvation? Salvation is God bringing us back unto himself. We're sinners. We're born with a sin nature because our ancestors, Adam and Eve, sinned. So we have that sin DNA, if you will, passed along through the genes. And then, unfortunately, we all act upon it. So we're sinners both in our heart and in our record, in our nature and in our conduct. And yet God wants us so much that he sent his son to live, die, and rise again to make salvation possible. And then he sends his spirit to convict us, you know, to show us the fact that we're sinners, to show us the fact that we are separated from a God who's holy and righteous, to convict us of the fact that we're on our way to eternal judgment, but then to open our eyes, to give us an understanding of his love, the gospel message, and in fact, to give us the ability and the desire to believe so that we can be born again into eternal life, into a relationship with him. At its very core, salvation is a relationship. And it's a relationship, not only where God calls us friends, as much as incredible as that is, but God actually adopts us as his children. What God wants is us. And you think about that, that's an astounding thought. You know, again, we're out here on the back porch because the weather's changing. The first little glimpse of fall, I know we'll have a lot of hot days between now and when it really is fall, but today is just a beautiful day. You have that sky that's beginning to turn to that blue that you have during the fall. The grass is still green from the summer. We had rain last week, so it's nice and green. The birds have sung. You know, you think about how beautiful this creation is. You know, this past weekend, I spent some time reading on the back porch, and happened to look up from my book, and there was a young deer that had gotten very close to the porch. He was just looking at me. You know, absolutely beautiful. And yet in all of this, this beautiful creation, we are what God wants. Yeah, I don't know where you are when you're looking at this, but take a look around. If you're inside, look out the window. Look at a tree. Look at something beautiful. Part of God's creation. And yet the wonderful truth is you are what God wants. That's an incredible thought. It's not the angels that God wants to have a relationship. None at all. I'm not in any way belittling the angels. Powerful, intelligent, amazing. And yet it is weak, sinful, fallen us that God wants a relationship with. In fact, it is, all you have to do is look at the demons, the fallen angels. God did not attempt to redeem them. It wasn't for them that Jesus Christ died. It wasn't for them that our Lord came to be born of a virgin, live a holy life, and go to the cross. No. It is us. It is you. It is me. We are what God wants. And when we're going through adversity, we need to remember just how deeply God loves us, that we are in fact what he wants. But not only do we remember the fact that God wants us, but also we need to remember, number two, God listens to us. Look at the latter part of verse 3. The Lord hears when I call to him. I'm reminded again, I know we quote it quite often, but I don't know a better Bible verse is more clear and concise about the issue of prayer than Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. We've used the illustration before. You think of some powerful, influential, wealthy man who has tremendous resources at his disposal, who gives you, you know, not just his business card with the company phone at it, if people even use business cards anymore, doesn't just give you the company number, the number where you have to go through the switchboard, and ultimately, hopefully, after, you know, three different menus, you finally reach his secretary and leave a message with her or his voicemail or whatever the case may be, but his personal cell phone number. And he tells you, you know, when you call, I'm going to answer. In all my resources, I'm going to invest in you. You know, even the most wealthy, powerful, influential man, his resources can only do so much. We're before an infinite God. And he has told us that he will, in fact, answer our prayers. God listens to them. God answers them. Answers them in ways, again, according to Jeremiah 33:3, that we cannot even begin to imagine. Now, that's not to say that we can somehow twist, manipulate God's arm. Let's be very honest and frank. Many times, God answers our prayers in ways that we did not think he would, and maybe even ways that at that moment we did not even like, ways we may question for years. But we can trust God in his perfect wisdom and unlimited love to answer in the best way. And if we don't understand it, it's not because there's a deficiency upon God. It's just because in our humanness, and I'm saying this as kindly as I know how, because I'm saying as much about me as I am you, our finite little minds cannot grasp God's plan and purpose and good. You know, you take a small child, does not always understand the decisions that his parents make. As we grow older, we look back and we see the wisdom in what they did, or at least what they were trying to do. They were human like we were. God's perfect, okay? We're always the little child, but his wisdom is always perfect, and the way he answers is always best. We might not understand it, but that's the problem, is on our limited understanding. It's not a deficiency of his heart, will, or capability. But God will answer. Whatever it is that we're facing, whatever you may be going through today, remember God listens. He actually listens to your prayer, and he'll answer in a way that is absolutely amazing, according to his eternal love and wisdom. But not only that, we see number three, we need to remember that God blesses us. Look at verse 7. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. God desires to give us life, a life that's full and rich. In the picture there, you know, you think about this, we ought to be able, most of us around here can relate to this, agricultural background. God, you put more joy in my heart than when they have the absolute bumper crop of a lifetime. And when they not only have a bumper crop, but it brings the best, highest possible price imaginable. God, you have made me happier. You've given me more joy from within than all the outside things can ever give me. And I know we read that, and what goes through our minds so often is that, okay, well, you know, we'll experience the joy, we'll experience the blessing after the problem is over, through some wonderful season when there are no problems. But the reality is there is no season of life where there are no problems. And yeah, there might be times when we have the relief of a problem that's set on us for quite some time, and it's a wonderful relief when it's over. But that's not the context here or any other place in God's Word when he talks about his joy. God gives us his joy not by ending the problem, though many times he does that, but even in the very midst of the problem. You think about David's, probably the most famous psalm that we think about, that the Spirit inspired him to write. You think about what he wrote in Psalm 23, verses 5 through 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think about how those two verses fit together. Where is David's head anointed with oil? Where is the table prepared for David? In the very presence of his enemies. It's not after the problem's dealt with, though, again, God wonderfully moves and answers and meets needs. But even in the very midst of it, he, in fact, has the overflowing cup. God blesses us. If we will truly turn our heart toward him and seek him, even in the midst of the problem, and certainly bring the problem unto him, certainly make our request be made known unto God. He invites us over and over in his word to do so, and he answers powerfully. But even before we see the actual answer, the solving of the problem, the deliverance, God blesses us from within. far more than anyone else, those others who don't know God or aren't walking with Him, can experience from outside circumstances. He blesses us. But then notice number four, God protects us. Look at verse 8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for You alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. He is the good shepherd. We just talked about the 23rd Psalm. He is the good shepherd who protects us. Nothing can approach us without first going through Him. Now, obviously, we need to understand He protects us unto His will. God sometimes protects us by getting us out of the situation. Sometimes God protects us by carrying us through it. But nothing can touch us without going through Him first. And once more, as we saw last week in Psalm 3, you see the theme there of being able to sleep. I mean, you think about it, when we're going through a time of adversity or difficulty, what's usually the first thing that suffers? Our ability to sleep, our rest. And yet, what is David saying here? Even in the midst of those things, I can lie down, I can rest, because I know You are protecting me. You'll protect me unto Your will. We need to remember God is always protecting us. Nothing can come into our life unless it's gone through Him first. Remember the illustration Jesus gave in John 10. Talked about being the door of the sheep. The picture there is that a Middle East shepherd, the sheepfold would have an opening. It didn't really have a gate, because across the openings where the shepherd himself would lie, he was the gate. Nothing could get toward the sheep without getting through him first. God wonderfully protects us. Now again, many times He protects us out of the situation by getting us out of it or keeping us from experiencing it. But if He doesn't protect us out, He'll protect us through and carry us unto His will, whatever that will is for us. But God will protect us. We're in His hands. And so if you're going through a time of difficulty, and we all do it sometime, we all need to remember this, even if today's not a difficult time for us, we need to remember that God wants us. God listens to us. God blesses us. God protects us. May we always remember that, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You again, O God, for Your eternal, immeasurable love for us. Father, Your perfect wisdom. And Father, for any who are going through adversity and difficulty and hardship today, O God, Father, I just pray, O God, that they, like David, will remember these truths, and, Father, that they'll experience You in the midst of it all. Carry them. Father, thank You for Your love, for Your grace, for Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it's been good to be with you. These times are a blessing for me, and I hope that they are for you. I hope that if you are going through a difficult time, that you'll remember what David remembered, that you'll experience the Lord's nearness. And I hope that whatever it is you're facing today, that after this time of being together in God's Word, that you'll feel closer to our Lord, that you know Him better, that you'll be able to trust Him more, and that you'll be able to experience His wonderful eternal love.